Todd was blushing, by the way. All right, Don has been, thank you for that introduction, appreciate it. I sometimes, we see ourselves, we look in the mirror and we go, it's not me, and we know that how people perceive us is probably a more accurate picture of who we are than how we perceive ourselves, so thank you for that, appreciate it. Don has been pestering me all week about the title of this sermon or this message, and I'm like, I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, I'm more focused on the actual text of the message than anything, but I told her this morning, so hopefully this will pique your interest a little bit. Silence, silent, and Selah. I hope that piques your interest a little bit. I have one thing for you to do. If you could, Myron, could you pass one of these out to everybody, children included, and then over here, Charlie, you make sure everybody on this side, people in the middle get a card. What I want you to do on that card, and we're going to get to it later, you will get to it later, you and the Lord will get to it later, is write down one burning question that you have for the Lord. One question. Something you've been seeking the Lord for, I don't know, maybe it's just 1 week, I don't know, maybe it's been 6 months. Something you've been seeking the Lord for. One of the reasons why we're mixing it up a little bit today is because I want to end with worship. And we're going to do our usual songs, but then we're going to do some Charlie Selah time, yes. Where it's just going to be instrumental. And what I want you to do during that time is seek the Lord for the answer. I think we spend way too much time in the world today with noise. There's too much noise in the world today. One of the reasons why I've been intrigued by this idea of silence and silent is, Todd started the first of the year talking about Samuel and hearing from the Lord. And, Samuel said, finally, speak, Lord, your servant's here. And I'm pretty sure then Samuel shut up and stopped talking and listened. I'm guessing, I don't know, you can kind of infer that maybe a little bit, because then we find out, Samuel had a pretty powerful ministry. Charlie, every once in a while you say in the middle of Todd's message, Selah. And we take a pause and think, let it sink in. Another verse that's kind of piqued my interest lately is Romans 8:1. And it says that there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. What? And so I've been thinking about this and trying to, put this together and really wonder, what do we mean by silence? What is that? And I think we need to spend more time in that place. In the world today, we just have this general noise of life. We got our phones with us all the time. I may have mentioned this in one of my past messages. How many feet away does your phone need to be before it doesn't affect your brainwaves? No, this is a scientific study. Seriously, scientific study. How far away does your phone need to be before it doesn't affect your brainwaves? Double it. 12. 12 feet. It has to be 12 feet away in order for it not to affect your brainwaves, because you're always thinking about it. Am I missing a message? Am I missing my likes? 12 feet. So it's on your. So you think about that. If you use it as your phone alarm, wanting to get up in the morning, it's sitting right next to your nightstand. It's affecting your brainwaves all night long. That's noise. I appreciate what Todd said a couple weeks ago about, before we go to bed at night. Say to the Lord, Lord, I'm listening. Well, we got to get that phone out of here first. Yes. How much stuff is on our phone that's noise? Radio. We get in the car. We turn the radio on. We get in the car. Most new cars got that nice dash right there. I just got my first truck about a year and a half ago that has a dash on, a little camera right there, thing there, screen there. I'm like, what is this? Sometimes if you don't turn it off right, immediately you turn the ignition on, the radio's on. I'm like, what? No, I don't want this right now. So, yeah, radio, TV. How many people, the first thing you do in the morning is eat breakfast and turn TV on, see what to catch up on the weather and the news and all that? Noise. It's just noise. And I'm not trying to be critical or anything like that. But, you know, we got the internet. We can go in instant access. What about church? Come to church every Sunday and we are fed from the minute we walk in here to the time we leave. I'm not saying it's noise. It's beneficial. It's good stuff. Sorry, Todd. It's all good stuff. But there's just this constant input. You know, noise is not only auditory, what we hear, but noise can also be visual. I mean, we laugh, and, you know, my wife can attest to this. You know, sometimes at Christmas time or the holidays, you know, there's four of us on our phones, and we're just swiping through, and there's no noise. Well, there's visual noise, but we're not engaging with one another. Sometimes, not all the time. Don't look at me critically. Even kids at school, I mean, they're scrolling through. There's no noise, but it's visual. You know, and some of it's, again, not all of it's bad. Some of it's good. Our quiet times, think about that, our prayer times. Do we ever stop and just sit and go and listen? Or do we have this long laundry list of, Jesus, I need this, Jesus, I need that, Holy Spirit, come, do this, do that, ba 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 ba. I can be accused of that for sure. Or do we just sit and listen? So as we get into this a little bit further, the question you put on your card, may not have it quite yet, but before we get to worship, write your question down. We're going to take some time to practice. Gosh, I sound like a teacher. Oh, I am. To practice listening. And I firmly believe by the time you leave here today, you'll have your answer. I'm believing for that answer for you today. Amen. All right? And I'm not going to force you to stay, but we're not going to close the way we normally close today. We're going to go into the instrumental part. It's about 10 minutes. Leave when you want. Leave when you get that answer. You know, be respectful of those other ones who are trying to get their answer today. Just leave. It's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward. But just leave. I know we like to fellowship, and that's good. We want to do that, but today's just a little bit different. It's okay. So what is it about silence that makes us uncomfortable? I mean, we've all been in that place, right? There's that, we call it the awkward silence. See if I can recreate it. Anybody awkward yet? Yeah, what makes us uncomfortable about that? Is it the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Do we want that noise? We want that constant noise because we don't want to be convicted by the Holy Spirit? I don't know. Maybe we've got something that we're wrestling with and we don't want to give it to the Lord, so we just fill our day with noise. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're just afraid of having our, aside from the Holy Spirit, our own self-examination. Maybe looking back on the previous day and say, okay, Lord, you know, what did, just revisiting the day. Oh, I did that wrong. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Are we so prideful and arrogant that we can't have our own little bit of self-examination? I think that requires some silence. Right. It needs to take some time to go, okay, what did I... Did I really do that right correctly? So there's lots of reasons why maybe we just don't know what to do in the silence. What do I do? Why is it so quiet? What am I supposed to do? We're just not comfortable in that place of silence. Maybe we're afraid of the Lord's correction. But I think moreover, I think it is that last part that maybe we just don't know what to do with the silence. I think we just don't know. The word silence in the NIV is found 18 times. Now, if you look at the NASB, the ESV, King James, that might vary depending how they translate it. But it's either translated silence or silent. Either way. And again, depending on the translation, it could vary. But the NIV has 18 times. And majority of those times, we find that they talk about the Lord silencing our enemies. One example is Psalms 108, or 101, sorry, 101 verse 8. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. So the Lord is going to silence our enemies. That's his job. That's what he's going to do. He's going to put them, we're not going to have to listen to him anymore. Going, blah, blah, blah. You did that, you did that, you did that. We don't have to hear them anymore. And there's a multitude of other verses. I don't have these for you. But Psalms 143:12, we are supposed to pray to silence the enemies. Pray. Isaiah 25:5, the Lord says he will silence the foreigners in your land. Foreigners referring to those not believers. He's going to silence them. And there's many other verses that refer to that. But there are other times that we are called to be silent. We are called to be silent. One of my favorite verses one of the first ones I learned when I was going through discipleship was Proverbs. This is going to be up here on the screen. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool keeps wise when he even a fool looks wise when he keeps his mouth shut. That's silence, right? And I would consider myself the biggest fool. I say dumb. That's my wife. I say dumb things all the time.
I can't believe you said that.
I don't know. Yeah, one of my favorite verses. Psalm 46:10. Everybody knows this. You can recite it. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. I think that implies silence, don't you think? Be still. Turn off the phones. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Get rid of it all. Go silence. This is for you, Charlie. Psalm 62, 1 through 9. This is just a sampling. I think I just gave you verse 1, right? Yeah. It's not in there. Well, it is actually in there. For the director of music for can't pronounce that. Jeduthun. A psalm of David, truly my soul finds rest in my God, my salvation comes from. But the first part for the director of music, and in this psalm, every once in a while it says Selah, Selah, Selah. Selah, as by definition, a pause in singing while instruments play. That's one interpretation. There's some controversy about exactly what does it mean, you know. But I think that's a fair statement to make, that it's a pause in the singing while the instruments continue to play. Selah. And could that be applied to, like, yeah, when we're hearing a message? Let's just take a moment to let that sink in. Let's take a moment to listen to what the Lord has to say and process that. Let's take a moment. Let's take a moment. Another one, Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. Can you imagine what that would be like if all the earth were silent before him? I have a sneaky suspicion this is prophetic, referring to Revelation 8:1. In the end, there's going to come a time when all the earth is going to be silent. Well, why? And heaven, too, yes. Why? Because the enemies have been put down. There's no, there's no reason for us to complain anymore, number one. Number two, the enemies are going to shut up. There's going to be silence. There's going to be silence. All the earth. Man, can you imagine walking out, all you hear is the birds chirping? Or maybe even no animals or nothing. No, even the birds are going to bow in reverence to the Lord. The coyotes, the birds, the fish, they're going to be silent before the Lord. All the earth. Huh. Amazing. The next passage, 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12. This is Elijah hearing from the Lord. The Lord said, go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains and tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a quake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. He was in the whisper. You know, how do we hear that whisper unless we're silent before the Lord? If we got all this noise, you know, I got to have my podcast from Chuck Swindoll. I got to have, I listen to Tony Evans when the musical season comes around. He's on at 9 o'clock. I got to have this. I got to listen to these guys. I got to listen to these women. I got to. But how, yeah, they're good. At the end of the day, I want to hear from the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Does the Lord speak through all those people? Yeah. But at the end of the day, I want to hear from the Lord.
Thank you. Yes.
So I got to put aside all these things of the world so I can hear from the Lord. This is a little on the prophetic side right now, but I believe we're moving into a time period that we are going to have to hear from the Lord. Because we're going to need to have answers now. Exactly. And we have to be able to go and seek the Lord in the moment and say, Lord, what do you want me to do right now?
Good word. Yep.
We can't go look at our concordance. We're not going to have time to go look at our Bible and do the Greek and the Hebrew. And we're not going to have time to do all that stuff or find the proper concordance or the commentary. I really feel there's an urgency that we need to be prepared to hear from the Lord in the moment. In the moment. I don't know what that will look like, but I really feel that's what we need to be doing. Job 29, 21. My people, our people listened to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. This is the Lord speaking to Job at this point. The people waited expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. Again, I wonder if this is referring to Revelation 8:1, where that 30 minutes of silence in heaven is everybody waiting expectantly for what's to come. I wonder. I don't know. I've been teaching Revelation at Tulu Christian, and we're just getting into chapter 4 and 5, but there's a lot of stuff there that, you know, these kids are like, well, what is that all about? What is this? You know, we're going to come across this passage, and it's going to be a tough one, because why in the world? We're so accustomed to all this noise that why would we not expect there always to be noise in heaven? But now we got this 30 minutes, and this is the passage that's really it's really intrigued me. Why? Why? We've just had the seven seals were just opened in the previous chapter by Jesus, and all these things happen, and now he opens the seventh seal, and there's silence. Is there, you know, as I said before, is there an expectancy of what's to come? Well, what comes next? Does anybody know what comes next? The seven trumpets, where Lord's judgment comes upon the earth. Is there, I mean, we would know. I mean, if we read Revelation, we as believers will know what's coming next. We're like, oh, yeah, I heard this, read this somewhere before. But the world who doesn't know, they're like, hold the phone. Well, what? Do you think in a way that the Lord is getting their attention? The Lord's getting the world's attention and say, wake up, folks. Here we are. Here's the time. This is what's coming down. And you missed the boat. I can only think of an earthly comparison is, you know, if you miss your plane. You miss the plane. You're sitting at the gate. It's your fault. Did you miss the plane? You know, maybe you didn't get there on time. Are you freaking out? Maybe some people might freak out. I don't know. But you're silent. You're like, ugh, I missed it. What am I going to do? The world is going to be left going, what am I going to do? They missed it. Maybe that's part of this Revelation 8:1. We are waiting in anticipation of the seven trumpets. All God's enemies are silent. We got nothing to complain about anymore. Because we know finally the Lord is coming. And things are going to be made right. Lots of reasons why there are 30 minutes of silence in heaven. Lots of reasons. Pick one. That's the thing about Revelation that I teach my students at school. In any part of Scripture, you know, we have plenty of ways to interpret things. I think my Jabruch paper, if you had an opportunity to read that, it talks about different ways to interpret things. But our interpretation of events in Revelation should never cause division in the church. It should never do that. We can come together and explore and discuss, but at the end of the day, the bottom line is what? Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. That's what we need to focus on. So that's a little aside there. So the question we're left with is, where do we find God? Where do we find God? As Elijah, God put him up on the mountain. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the wind. He was in the whisper. Why are we drawn to places that we find peace as believers? Where's your quiet place? You know, I remember several years ago we went to California and we saw the giant sequoia redwoods. I tell you what, I could have stayed there all day. I wanted to look. Well, we did. I wanted to go back the next day. And we did, actually. Then we had to move on. I wanted to look at every single tree. I wanted to see every one. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. There was something peaceful in my spirit. There was something, and I'm not saying the tree spoke to me. Don't get me. I'm not like that. But there was something in that place that spoke to me, and I believe it was the Lord that spoke to me. His grandeur, His majesty, His just bottom line, His character spoke to me. You know, we went to the beach. Pacific Ocean laid out in front of us. Whoa. Never been there before. How insignificant am I? Why are we drawn to parks? Because there's a silence, there's a peace there. Why are we drawn to that quiet place in our homes? I'm assuming you all have one. I have one on my upstairs in our loft, and it's kind of weird to think about, maybe, I don't know. But it's my great-grandmother's rocking chair. And it still has the original covering on it. It still works. It's a lazy boy. But that's where I spend my first half hour of my day every day. I just imagine because many times I'd walk into her house and she'd be sitting in that chair. You know? But that's my place. And I purposefully in the morning I read my scripture, I pray, but then I spend a few moments in just silence. Lord, what do you want me to do today? What are you speaking to me today? Because I firmly believe that, you know, all this meditation stuff that we have in the world today and these kinds of things, I firmly believe that we cannot allow our minds to be completely empty in that silent place. We need to pose a question. We need to be meditating on the Word and allow the Lord to speak to us in those places, because I firmly believe, and this may be just a little weird spiritual thing, that an empty mind is the devil's playground. I think that's an old catchphrase from my learned in, I don't know, somewhere. We don't want our minds to be completely empty, because it'll get filled with something, and the enemy wants nothing more than to separate us from God. And he'll get in there, and he'll come in and masquerade as angels of light, and he'll tickle our ears, and he'll do whatever he wants, but we need to be meditating that quiet time upon what the Lord wants. That's why I asked you to write down a question. Because as we get into this later part today, I want you to meditate on that question and say, Lord, will you please answer this for me? Will you please answer this question for me? I need to know. And I think there are those times when we are desperate for an answer. And I don't think we have to be desperate for an answer from the Lord. I think we just need to be available to the Lord. We have to be available. We can't be distracted by all these things of the world. And heaven knows, my wife and I, we're both, she's, you know, principal down at Bowling Green Christian. I'm a teacher. May is Looney Tunes. It's crazy. Right, Michelle? It's crazy. There's something going on every day. But I firmly believe we have to find a time to be quiet before the Lord. We have to. Or else we're going to let all these things of the world rush in and consume our time, consume our energy, consume us to the point where we don't remember how to hear from the Lord. We need to practice that. It's easy to turn on our phones and start swiping through. Jeff Kissler could talk to you about this and the dopamine and the effects of dopamine in your brain. Every time you swipe and something new pops up, there's a little dopamine rush. Dopamine is an addictive chemical in the brain. It causes addictions. You know, I found myself, my wife can attest to this, I find myself, you know, Facebook Marketplace, just a bunch of junk, but 10, 15, 20 minutes go by, and I'm like, what did I just do? I just wasted 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of my time when I could have been with the Lord. Maybe that's the question we should pose to ourselves. How much time am I wasting with the distractions of the world and not focusing on learning to be silent before Him? You know, it's not in the Bible that much, but I think it's an important principle to practice. I think it's very important. So at this point, I just wanted to ask, I'm going to pray. We're going to go get into our worship. And then at the end, there's going to be about 10 minutes of just instrumental. Ruth Fossel, if anybody's familiar with Ruth Fossel, she's a violinist. That'll be what the music will be. And then again, it's going to feel awkward. But dismiss yourselves when you get your answer. And as you dismiss, you know, be respectful of those who are still seeking that answer, still listening to the Lord. So let's pray, and then we will worship. Father God, we come before you today with expectant hearts, expecting you to answer these questions that are laid out before you. There's an urgency here for some. There's an expectancy for all. And there's some doubt for others. Are you going to answer this today? Lord, I ask in your Son's precious name, that you will answer every question here today. That you will respond in some way to every person, young, old, today. Jesus. Father, we just look forward to what you're going to, what you have for us. We look forward to what is to come in the future. We look forward to this week. Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see your Spirit moving in the land this week as we go about our day, as we go about our week. And that we would be, by your Spirit, able to minister to those that we come into contact with. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name.